everyone. I'm Ashley McManus, Senior Director of Global Marketing at SmartEye. Welcome to the Human-Centric AI Podcast, where each episode we feature thought leaders doing cutting-edge work in the AI space. A little bit about us. SmartEye is the global leader in human insight AI, technology that understands, supports, and predicts human behavior in complex environments, bridging the gap between humans and machines for a safe and sustainable future. Today, our technology is embedded in next-generation vehicles, leading the way towards human-centric mobility through driver monitoring systems and interior sensing solutions. Our research instruments offer unparalleled insights into automotive, aviation, assistive technology, behavioral science, and many more fields. Today's episode features the founder and CEO of iMotions and member of the executive management team in the SmartEye Group, Peter Hatzbeck. Peter is an entrepreneur who is driven by using technology to make the world a better place. His company, iMotions, is a fully integrated hardware-agnostic software platform that allows researchers to use the power of any neuroscience technology, as well as traditional surveys and focus groups, to gain unparalleled insight into what people actually think and feel. Their customers use iMotions for everything from diagnosis of neurological diseases such as Parkinson's, schizophrenia, autism, and Alzheimer's, to personal training, UX testing, advertising, and military human research. Peter and I talked about the future of biometric research, the cutting-edge advancements and trends that are reshaping the field, uncovering new possibilities and applications. We discussed the groundbreaking development of web-based eye tracking and its implications for attention measurement and eye movement metrics. Peter also shed some light on the power of multimodality, combining biometric signals to gain a comprehensive understanding of human behavior, as well as the exciting world of real-time analysis and its transformative impact on biometric research. Let's listen in to learn more. Okay. Hi, everyone. And thank you so much for joining us today. With me, I have Peter Hatzbeck. Thank you for making the time to speak with me.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me again.
Absolutely. Yes. So we've actually had you on the podcast before, actually exactly a year ago. Mm-hmm. But for those who didn't catch that, can you tell us briefly about your background and your company, iMotions?
Sure. My name is Peter Hatzbeck, founder and CEO of iMotions. We are a company that has created a software platform for multimodal research, basically for measuring human behavior. So we combine a lot of different sensors together in order to understand how the human reacts to stimuli and other things. Mm-hmm. So basically eye tracking, facial expression analysis that, for example, comes from Affectiva. Mm-hmm. EEG and other sensors, but we can dig more into that. But that's basically what we do. Mm-hmm. We spent a couple of decades to get us to here. Yeah. So it's been a long road, but also I think there's still another decade to go before we have all these sensors built into everything. So that's an exciting path that we are on, I think, all of us together here.
Nice. So speaking of excitement, what is something that you are most excited about that has happened at iMotions within the last year?
Yeah, so I mean, I think one of the big things is a year ago we had the first version of our web-based eye tracking. And in general, iMotions has worked with eye trackers that you put on the screen. Mm-hmm. That's also what SmartEye actually delivers. Mm-hmm. So hardware devices you put on the screen, and then you can measure exactly where people look at the screen. But of course, it's not as scalable to have a laboratory, right? So you need to have a physical space to actually put up the eye tracker. So what's happening now is that we have built over after Corona hit, where people couldn't get into the labs. Mm-hmm. We basically built a web-based eye tracking system out of the camera that sits in your laptop, for example, here on the Mac. Mm-hmm. So first of all, you can then use it across different computer platforms, right? But also we begin to really get some quite good precision in it. I mean, obviously, it's never going to be as precise mm-hmm. as when you have an infrared cannon that shoots out. That's normally built into a more normal eye tracker. But what has happened here is that the last year, we have, of course, had a lot of clients using it, and we really begin to see that we can get down to like 2 degree accuracy, 2 to 3. Mm-hmm. And I think everything under 5 is pretty good for web-based eye tracking. So the performance white paper we have just released that you should check out online.
Yeah, I'll drop it in there.
Yeah, that would actually be cool to attach here. We should definitely, sorry to drop that in
there. Yeah, no problem.
And I think... If you, for example, do a package test, right, where you have two packages beside each other and want to see how much attention that's distributed, this technology has actually become really, really good. Mm-hmm. And the other things about it is that you can measure across a lot of demographics. So I can, for example, say, hey, how do respondents from India react versus people from USA, for example, right? Mm-hmm. So if I had to build all these labs and do the test, obviously it would be much more costly. I had to fly somebody out to collect based on those demographics. Now you can basically set up a study and then boost it out all over the world. Mm-hmm. So great progress there.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting. So, and I also believe that, you know, you regularly conduct training academies for your customers. Mm-hmm. I think there was one fairly recently in Boston.
Yeah.
Can you explain what these are, what your ultimate goal for these gatherings are, and of course, how did it go?
Yeah. So it went really awesome. It was one of the biggest ones we've actually had here in the States.
Cool.
So we had 25 researchers within all kinds of fields, both commercial researchers, but also academic researchers coming together for a week here in Boston. So we were down at the Cambridge Innovation Center where we had 5 days of training. So the first couple of days, all the participants, they learn about all the different biosensors, right? Like eye tracking, facial expressions, and so on. So all the theory behind it, right? Because a lot of people, they maybe just did surveys before, and then they want to leap into this because, you know, it's more or less only 10% of the answer you get from a survey. 90% of the answer comes from actually understanding both the brain and how the body responds to things, emotions, right?
Yep.
So in that respect, it's something that people are really interested in and that everybody's going to be using in the future. But obviously, it's also a lot of stuff to learn. And as I said earlier, we've been 2 decades into this. All the devices get smaller and easier to use, but obviously there's still a lot of things to learn about the theory behind it. So that happens the first 2 days, and then the participant has to actually do like a real study. Mm-hmm. So let's say you work for my research company, you come in there and said you only did eye tracking before, mm-hmm. and then you can learn about the other sensors, facial expression, and TSR, for example, and then you do a real study on some of the, you know, the stimuli you have tested on before, for example, some packages, images, videos, whatever it is. And then you do set up the study, build a methodology mm-hmm. with randomizations or A-B testing or this kind of thing. And then you do the study, collect on some of the other groups of people. Mm-hmm. And then you actually have to create a report and present it on the Friday to all the other participants.
Oh, cool.
So it's really like a super, intensive week where you come knowing nothing about it, or from nothing about it to actually being able to do a real study that you can bring home to your company or your academic team and say, hey, this is what I learned. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's also people who already have quite some knowledge that comes. So there's both a lot of people. You can come with no experience at all. You can also come with a lot of experience and still get value out of it. So that's kind of the academy. And then to talk about another exciting thing we're working mm-hmm. on that's coming in the future here is the Academy 2.0.
Okay.
That we just had a dry run of that in Copenhagen. Mm-hmm. So that's something we want to bring into the market where we look more at analysis side of things, you know, how to dig more into the data and so on. So for the more advanced users, how do they get to the next level, right? So we are hopefully going to launch that either in the end of the year or maybe start of next year.
Awesome. Very exciting. Cool. Another thing I wanted to ask you about was there is an upcoming announcement of a new product, iMotions Online.
Oh, yeah.
So I know the press release will be we put out on the wire soon, and it's described as a cloud-based platform that makes human behavior research more accessible, flexible, scalable, and affordable. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if you could take me through the genesis of this product, what you're looking to do with it, who it's for, and maybe the ultimate vision of it.
Yeah. So it's really, really exciting. So basically, just to recap, iMotions have always been about the lab, right? So it's like a lab software where you run it on a PC and then you have the different sensors, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, I think if you want high precision then that's the best way to do it. But that's also something about the speed, the execution speed of the study, right? Because mm-hmm. you need to get one person in, sit in front of the computer, put on the sensors and so on, right?
Yeah.
And then also if you want to test different demographics, that's, as we talked about just before, also a little bit, you know, more costly and so on. It takes time to fly out and collect data.
Right.
So really the idea here is to take, how do we build a product that's more scalable? also for market research agencies, for example, the ones to deliver to the Unilevers or P&G and so on, where they can also test across many different countries, right? Because if you launch a new package and you haven't tested it for this, like how, because the attention can be very different in the in Asia versus in the Western world, for example, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you really know if you don't test it, right?
Right.
So with the idea is to then still be able to use some of the sensors and then do it on a scale.
Mm-hmm.
So what it includes is an end-to-end software where you can set up a study like you can with desktops, you can test images and videos and so on,
mm-hmm.
and build whatever kind of study design. Then you can build a panel, or you can send it out to a panel of respondents. So most online products, they have like a panel, you call it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And then you basically can send it out to 1,000 people that then gets $5 or whatever to look at this.
Yeah.
And then we gather the data on both web-based eye tracking. We just talked about that shortly
yeah.
before. And that's really exciting, right? That you can now actually do it also across a lot of ethnicities.
Yeah.
And that's what we proved in the white paper that we just referred to,
yeah.
that actually works really well across both different lighting conditions and different ethnicities and
mm-hmm.
so on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really great. So the eye tracking, the attention, what are people looking at? And then we also have in there the facial expressions from Affectiva. That's in a 5.0 version now, which is really great, right? It took us a lot of years together with Affectiva to mature the technology to that level. So that's also really good. And of course, that's also a lot of data around the head movement box and also the distance to the screen, which is a approach avoidance indicator, right? If you're excited about something, slide it closer.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you move further away, and let's say you have 1,000 respondents or just 100 respondents per cell, then you can really see in aggregation if people move backwards or forwards at the same places, mm-hmm. right? Where it gets boring, for example, or where it gets exciting.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's a lot more metrics than that, but that's the key metrics.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, our real one exciting thing at the end here that we are, what we're adding, and that will also be possible to get on the online platform.
Yeah.
But let's get back to that later.
Okay.
So the vision for that platform is be also for universities to actually be able to conduct a lot of the research online, because it's not everybody who wants to build a lab
mm-hmm.
or has the budget for the lab.
Right.
So here's the thing, you don't need to buy any hardware. You can basically do a study from study to study, basically, right, and then pay for the respondents and so on. So it's very flexible.
Cool.
And a lot of the universities, they use Qualtrics today, right? A survey
yeah.
platform.
Yeah.
So you should see this as Qualtrics on steroids, right? It's like basically you can also combine Qualtrics into your survey, into this. We also have our own actually survey platform in the software where you
right.
can do skip logic and also advanced stuff. But a lot of people already use Qualtrics, but we can trigger the Qualtrics survey inside iMotions and then measure where people look, if they read the stuff and so on before they actually answer.
Okay.
So it also gives a lot of quality assurance when you actually do a survey, right, when you do it through the online platform.
Mm-hmm.
So another exciting thing about it is the education side. So
mm-hmm.
we have thought a lot for many years, how are we gonna use this in the education? So one thing is to do real research as an academic
mm-hmm.
Or a company, but how do you learn this on the school bench? So let's say you take a bachelor at Suffolk University, for example, where they actually use this kind of software to train people
mm-hmm.
on learning about human behavior. It's like, how can you then use this platform for that? And you know, imagine then you sit in a classroom with 25 people,
mm-hmm.
then you can do a little study and then you send it around to the rest of the class.
Mm-hmm.
So with a browser-based software, it's possible to actually train people on where they look and you know, facial expressions, this and how we actually react to things.
Yeah.
So that is where we have more like an education model that you can use in the classrooms and the school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the vision for this online platform is also all about. So that's very different from using it for normal research, right? So that's mm-hmm. kind of the key points for what we're seeing here. And I think in general, the future will be a combination of lab when you need high quality data on fewer respondents, right?
Yeah.
And then sometimes you can pre-test it with the online, very low cost when you test the study design and see some indications. And then you can maybe change something in the study design before you do the more expensive study, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also there's going to be with the mobile platform that's a bit further down the line, you have more longitudinal studies, which is like studies over longer time,
mm-hmm.
where you can, for example, test on Parkinson patients and Alzheimer's patients, where they actually have more wearable sensors But that's a whole other game that's super exciting. We can talk about that next year when that is already...
For our third edition.
Our third update. There's always stuff to update on in this world.
Awesome.
It goes quick.
Yeah. Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So speaking of, you know, years that go by, SmartEye, of course, acquired Emotions back in 2021.
Yeah.
So now that we're approaching the second year anniversary, can you share some, you know, reflections of the last year, any challenges, pleasant surprises, unexpected opportunities that you're excited about in the last few months?
Yeah, but in general, I'm together with Bas and Rana, of course, very excited about this whole combination of companies, right? Because we have both the facial expression technology, and I think there's tons of applications for that to integrate it into a lot of things. Now, iMotions actually have the web-based eye tracking technology that can also be integrated in other things in the future.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have the automotive side, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think iMotions is a little bit separate in this whole equation because we're still running more or less exactly like we did before.
Yeah.
Which is like independently. And the reason we do that, which I still think, and hopefully the rest of everybody is thinking, is that we want to be neutral to a researcher, right? It's like somebody calls, I want to do this research. We want to be able to still keep our ecosystem of great partners
mm-hmm.
on the hardware side and software side that we integrate into the platform. And I think that that works really well. And that's something that why people come to us, because they can know that they get a neutral mm-hmm. validation of the technologies, and that's both low-end, medium range, and high-end options, right? I mean, EEG headsets can range from $3,000 to $5,000, well, even $1,000, and then all the way up to $40,000-$50,000.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a big difference of $200,000 budget and a $10,000 budget, right? So it's important that you can basically fit the needs and then grow the lines to the other ones if they want to have more precise equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so that side of it is pretty much the same, I would say.
Yep.
But then, of course, there's all the synergies. And one thing to mention, for example, is that we, for the first time this year, in January 2023, I think we all left the 1st or 2nd January. It was a bit of a early CES this year, but we actually were at the CES conference on the automotive side, where we had four different booths. So we had the serial production automotive there,
mm-hmm.
And then we had the AIS, the aftermarket product.
Yeah.
And then we had the buck for the interior sensing, which is basically kind of Effectiva's technology. The two of the first ones were the original SmartEye technologies.
Yeah.
And then we had a little bit of the secret future room, which was the iMotions multi-modal sensor platform, because that is basically how we see the cars evolve and a lot of other areas as well, of course. But basically, we're going to have more and more sensors in the car that can, for example, predict Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, right? Because think about it. It's the most perfect testing place. You know, I drive, unfortunately, I spend more than an hour each way when I am in Copenhagen, when I go to the office, right? And I sit there and I basically sit still with the same kind of lighting and so on. And so you can change, you can look at subtle changes from day to day, right? When you have a deterioration inside the body, for example, your pupil dilation slow down, or like my heart rate begins to change rapidly or something like that. So I think that's really what was the vision about iMotions. The long-term vision was to get into the healthcare space and diagnose Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and so on. That's what my mother had and unfortunately passed away from. So that's still like, for me also personally, the 10-year plan I have is like, how do we actually get this into either the doctors so you come down and sit in front of the system, or maybe sooner than we think, this could be inside our car where you can opt into being observed for these kind of neurological diseases so we can get to know it. Sometimes it's 3 to 5 years or even more before you have physical signs, you actually have them, right? So if you start to get medicine at that point and we could track the diseases very early, that would be really fantastic, right? And the start of finding a cure, right? But we still need to first find out when people have it. Because today, with an MSA that my mother had, you basically cannot figure it out before you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you have to basically cut up the brain and say, okay, this disease was here.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunately a bit late.
Yeah.
Right? So that's my dream that one day we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that whole thing kind of in my own head came together. Like, it's like, wow, okay. I mean, we are really set to build and it's in the front of all other technology companies out there with the combination of the interior sensing, facial expression, technologies, and then the hardware and software for the cars, and then our multimodal approach where we have a horizontal angle. We actually have clients in all different kind of industries, from gaming, healthcare, mm-hmm. and so on, right? So in that respect, I think the potential is completely intact. Mm-hmm. But of course, there's always synergies to harvest that has not been harvested yet.
Yeah.
But I think we are working on it. And I think also now, just an example here, we have moved together in a Boston office where we're sitting right now.
Yep.
Where we have Affectiva and Agnos together. Agnos has had an office here, you guys had an office here, and now we're sitting here, and we also have Research Instruments, which is one of the other departments or business units here. So in that respect, I think things are lining up, but of course it's let's face it, it's a complex merge to do with three companies. I mean, I was a little easier because we are still running independently, but mm-hmm. US and Sweden and all this, it's definitely different cultures, but I also think there's a lot of strengths in that, right? That we actually have, a global team and have these global
the diversity
offices. Exactly right. So I think that's kind of where I see it right now. Mm-hmm. But of course, I want to work hard on getting even more synergies. I think, there's definitely on the research side, there's a lot of things we can do together, right? Because we actually have three different research units, which could, of course, work even closer together one way or the other with time, because we all have clients in different spaces. Mm-hmm. So, so there's some cross-selling and all this kind of stuff that can be done.
Awesome. Love it. And I was also curious, based on your conversations that you're having, the trends that you're seeing, what do you think, and you have touched on this a little bit, but what you think is the future of biometric research, more generally, but also, with regard to eye tracking, what should researchers or organizations that deploy them keep in mind?
Yeah, I think we are still waiting for kind of the scaling where we are dependent on the hardware evolve somehow, right? And I think there's a big leap forward now in the web-based eye tracking.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be difficult to get near the high precision eye tracker because there's so many years of a lot of components built into it in order to actually do it very precisely. So one thing is the attention, like where's the eye looking, right?
Yeah.
But the other side of it is the metrics you can actually get out of an eye tracker that also can be measured on, right? So you have, for example, what's called saccade movements, you have fixations, how long do we fixate on different things, you have blink rates, cognitive blinks, you have startle blinks if you're scared, for example. I mean, so there's so many metrics where you need a higher frame rate than the 30 frames per second you get out of a web camera today.
Yeah.
And of course, that might change, so you get more samples out of a web camera, but there's still going to be limitations, right? But still, the thing is that we can now, on attention, measure more with the web-based eye tracking. I think that opens up for a lot of opportunities because also sometimes it doesn't have to be that precise, right? It's still going to be much more precise than if the best you have is the head pose, like that your head moves and looks to the side, for example, right? You can still sit and look at you now, and then my eyes look to the left, right? Mm-hmm. We would be able to track that there is a defocus, so to say, from the eyes with web-based eye tracking. We would not be able to do that with head pose only, right?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So just to give an example.
Yeah, cool.
And then I think what we're going to see and what we're also waiting for is smaller and smaller sensors and ideally cheaper and cheaper sensors, because the more it scales, the less we can get the hardware price. And of course, if you're going to go into millions of units, like the Fitbits and all the kind of stuff, I mean, that's in itself not enough to have a single modality. That's what a lot of people is doing, biohacking, all that kind of stuff. We believe that you need more than one signal, right?
Yeah.
Hence the multimodality, where we are kind of 10 years ahead of the curve here. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to happen, that we get more and more smaller devices. And again, I think that's also where the cars, very interesting data collection plays for these kind of sensors. And there you have, of course, a discussion about privacy.
Yeah.
For IMO, since we are research, purely research, so it's pretty simple. Like, people are volunteeringly part of a research project, right? If you have Parkinson, you get in and you get tested.
Right.
But I do think that, of course, we need to make sure that people, they opt in for these things, right? That it's not something that's just being done. But I mean, and that's where it has to be something that's social reliable, you know, like it's should be something that is changing the world to a better place that mm-hmm. actually gives value to people.
Right.
Then I do think, you know, that I myself would say, okay, do you want to be observed for Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, sclerosis or whatever? I mean, of course, some people don't want to know they're sick, but all else equal, you know, if you can get medicine quicker, you're going to have a longer life.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah. And then there's this whole health, how long we live and so on. There's a lot of science in these kind of technologies as well for how your body is aging and so on. I just had the MIT Advanced Management Program reunion. Mm-hmm. There's some really interesting professors talking this year about this. That's a whole other
Game
that we're going to. It's really exciting. Yeah.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So also based on your experience, you know, what do you think organizations need to do or recommend that they focus on when it comes to biometric research?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, I think when you build products one way or the other, mm-hmm. I think it's important to test. And we all know it, right? It's like if you don't, if you just think that you're smarter than the consumer or the client, I would not recommend companies do that, right? I know, and most people who listen to this that has been my clients for like 10 or 20 years, they know how client-driven we are and how much we involve the clients in mm-hmm. building our products, right? Yeah. So I do think that product testing and all kinds of research is basically one of the most important ingredients in building successful companies, mm-hmm. no matter if it's an automotive or gaming, wherever it is. So that's where we are key, right? So we are a testing platform, either scalable, where you want to test how does it react to different regions of the world, right? If you build a car, I mean, you can already see in the design that it's going to have a negative effect on people emotionally. Maybe that's not where you should launch that car, but launch it into the countries where there's a positive emotion response to it, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what the decisions are driven by. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably the key, right? That mm-hmm. if people are not doing it now, they should start doing it. Yeah. Doing surveys, I mean, I wouldn't call it crazy, but it's of course, you know, what people have been doing for the last thousands of years, asking people about stuff, but it's still the self-report, right? I mean, it's like we ask people, it's not always they know what to answer, and then they answer anyway, right? It's like we force an answer, and some things we cannot articulate, right? So that's why it's important to see the whole mm-hmm. context of human behavior together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if people are not doing it yet, they should start. And now it's a lot easier, what we talked about with the online platform, to get started with it. So get the eye tracking in there and the facial expressions and start up that.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. So we covered a lot of ground today.
Yeah.
I was curious if you had one takeaway for people listening, what would you like to hone in on and tell them?
Yeah, I think, you know, in the next generation of things we come with, I'm very excited about. It's not like fully announced yet, but we have for 10 years been observing voice analysis tools. Mm-hmm. So based on the microtone frequency analysis, basically.
Yeah.
Because I think for a lot of qualitative research, like now, for example, if we do an interview here, we could see how is my voice actually, am I, you know, sound excited or I'm like, bored, you know, whatever I am. Hopefully I'm the first thing I mentioned here to listen to out there. But anyway, so I think voice is really interesting. It's been, and it has been for the ones who have done something, it has been standing alone
mm-hmm.
as a single modality. So what we're doing now is that we're bringing voice into the multimodal platform.
Yeah.
And so it means that you can do, for example, if you have facial expressions to measure emotion, right?
Mm.
If people speak, the algorithms are not as sharp, right? Because you're basically moving the mouth a lot.
Yeah.
So for example, now we will have a technology that can take over and actually measure the emotions while you speak, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's really exciting. And we also build in speech to text translation.
Yeah.
So for the ones who do this kind of research, we actually can translate all these. So what I've been speaking here, if we had recorded it in iMotions, we would have annotations in the timeline, like exactly when I said what word.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also sentiment analysis on this, like is it positive or negative, the wording of what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But that's, of course, like more self-report based or like, you know, mm-hmm. it's not based on emotion, on the physiological reactions. And that's, of course, why we believe that that is also or even more important, but still is a pretty good indicator, right? Also to see where are these, based on the words I'm saying, where are we actually doing differently? Maybe I am still feeling a positive response, but I'm actually articulating it negatively, right? I mean, you as a researcher, you would not catch that, right? If you don't have the different technologies playing together. So I think voice is going to be huge in many, many different aspects of research in the future. And just to mention that, like, one of the challenges we had was that you needed like a clip, for example, of 10 seconds or something like that before you could then calculate and then post-process the data and then see what it was.
Yeah.
But one of the key things you get out of iMOS's platform that's exciting, I think, is that you get very near real-time observation of all the different signals, right? And here we are very close to real-time voice analysis, which is huge. So right away you see the words populate, and you also like see the most response. You see, for example, how high is, how loud is people speaking, and how fast. So a lot of the raw data around what we say is also in there. So I think that's the easiest way to explain it. I'm not a PhD, so you know, that's the best way I can explain.
Very cool.
Yeah, but this is a brand new feed for us, and we have done it with a partner that's going to be announced. But yeah, it's really cool. When we started to bring facial expression into this, I think it's almost 10 years ago, we started with a company called Emotion that was acquired by Apple, and then at the same time, more or less, we started with Rana and you and the team from Silva. When it was a 1.0 version that we brought into the research space, right?
Yeah.
Except for the media analytics.
So
today, I don't know how many published papers we have, but it's a lot. Like it's and all the, I think we have 1,000 universities together as clients now, right? So I'm looking forward to that journey again in the voice analysis to basically be the first company to bring this into play, right, in the multimodal context, because it's complex. But that's what I know, since we make complex things easier to do.
Yes, love it. We're going to have to do another podcast recorded on the iMotion Splash so you get the sensory analysis breakdown. I love that.
We'll do a post-processing of this session.
That'd be great. So last question is, you know, just for our listeners, if you let us know where they can go to learn more, or do you have any other call to action for them?
Yeah, I think, you know, in general, I'm on LinkedIn. I always love when people reach out if they have questions. Peter Hartsbeck, pretty easy to find.
I'll drop your bio on there too.
The entrepreneurial gladiator. I don't think there's anybody called that. I don't know. It was a friend who once called me that and said, okay, that sounds pretty right. Anyway, so I think our website is basically the best place, imotions.com, imotions with an S, right, .com. We just built a brand new one where you can see all the different, big congrats to the team. It's been a huge work for them to get a place, because this is a lot about, like, it's very broad what you can use this for, right? So, like, there's safety applications, healthcare, all the stuff we went through here earlier.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting to see how it fits into the different industries. So so that's probably the best place to go. Then there's you guys' podcast. I think that's also a great place to go. And we also have a lot of webinars and so on with clients that talk about how they use it. I think that's also really cool. But I think that's probably the easiest way to get access to information.
Excellent. Well, that is all I had for you, Peter. It's always a pleasure. And thank you so much once again for having this fascinating conversation week today.
Thank you very much for inviting me, and I look forward to see you next June.
Yes.
Yeah, for our quarter
round three.
Q2 quarter end interview.
Yes.
I enjoyed learning from Peter about how near real-time observation of biometric signals, including voice analysis, can empower researchers to unlock immediate insights and make data-driven decisions more efficiently. I also appreciate his stressing the importance of a user-centric approach in building successful products, where biometric research plays a vital role in understanding consumer responses and emotional associations. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, so don't forget to subscribe to the Human-Centric AI Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts for new episodes. We're also on social media, so please reach out to us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram to share any feedback you have on the show and weigh in on the discussion using hashtag Human-Centric AI Podcast. Don't forget to rate us and comment with your feedback to help make the podcast more discoverable for others. Until next time, thanks for listening.